Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we do lift up Joan's family as they mourn the passing of her mother and pray that you'd provide them peace and comfort in the days ahead. We give you a praise for the blessing that Carrie and Caleb have announced, and we pray for a smooth pregnancy and a healthy baby come January. And just ask your blessings upon them. Give them wisdom as they prepare to enter into the world of parenthood, and pray that you would bless our time in Sunday school this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys tell Shane about all the snacks you guys had for movie day last week. Shane was telling me he didn't come. So you're supposed to I think we should have snacks when he doesn't come. It's like we'll just have to figure out when he's not coming. Two weeks ago, we had begun looking at mass media, and we were talking about how we're under this constant bombardment because we're trying through technology, society, we try to take on attributes that we cannot carry. Through social media, we attempt to know everything. We try to know everything that's going on in the world and be aware of all the crises going on in the world, even if they don't directly impact us. And we end up carrying the guilt that we feel we don't do enough. We see a tragedy going on and we think, because I'm aware of this, I must have something to do about this. And because there's really not a lot we can do about a lot of these things, we also carry on with that guilt, that burden. And a lot of the sources we looked at last week were writing during the time when you sat on your couch and you watched TV. You were bombarded by mass media that way. But media has managed to work its way deeper into our lives. Now we carry media in our pocket. We're never disconnected. Even when we try to be. I'll be honest, I don't really know a lot what's going on in the world last week. I know a little, just what coming home last week, the shooting in Buffalo, New York. Have you ever wondered why you're under this constant bombardment by social media? If you notice, the default setting for all your social media accounts is to notify you every time that you get any notification of any type. And sometimes it's like, just somebody that you follow posted something that has nothing to do with you. Why are we so bombarded by media, especially social media? Well, first off is that if you ever read the end user license agreement that nobody ever does, you quickly realize that no matter how restrictive you are of your information, you're the product. Have you ever noticed that when you sign up for a Twitter account or a Facebook account or an Instagram account or whatever account there is, they're not charging you? There's wisdom to the saying, there is nothing in life free. See, when we sign up for all these things, we are the product. Chris Martin published with B&H a book called Terms of Service, and he gets to some of that and how we are the product. Social media and all the companies that work in and through social media, from Coca-Cola to an ice cream brand to a car manufacturer, they are utilizing that to get you. And no matter how tight your settings are, somebody is purchasing and profiting off of your information, and they're using that information to shape your understanding of your life in the world. That they target what you see to draw you in. And so with that in mind, we should consider some of the... there's good to social media, but we need to be aware of the negative. See, sometimes people will say that social media is not the real world, as if it's not a reflection of who they are. But it is very much a reflection of who we are. Pride, hypocrisy, anger, deception are all exposed and stimulated by the social media, and platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, think of the pride. I mean, that's the very purpose of Instagram. Yeah, I mean, you can build a career on being an influencer. Or you can show people how you go to all the lavish locations, how you receive, because once you become an influencer, they give you the stuff for free, how you're living this life that others can't attain. You know, sometimes on social media, people portray themselves in a way that is not true to reality. You know, the Instagram spirituality where everyone has the picture of their quiet time spot with their Bible laid out and their highlighters and their coffee. And you know, they might have a quiet time once a week, but you know, they have a picture perfect spirituality. Anger. You ever get on Twitter? And then we're going to see later that social media is actually designed and the algorithms operate in such a way that we see content not that will make us happy, but that will increase our anger. And often in our interaction with others on social media, our anger will be reflected and we will increase the anger of others. There are people that get on social media and their goal is to argue with someone, to prove their point, to own someone. Deception. I think there's a joke that everyone you see on the internet is actually a 37-year-old man in his basement. Not everyone is who they seem to be on social media. And all that is exposed and stimulated. Chris Martin in his book, Terms of Service, writes, "The social internet is a stage on which we perform and receive attention and affirmation from people around the world. For the countless people addicted to social media, it is nearly impossible to retreat to a backstage and find relief from the pressure of performing. When we live our lives online, we are constantly on stage, reaching for a sense of fulfillment we believe can be achieved if we get enough attention." It becomes addictive for a lot of people. You know, every time they see they get another like, another follow, their brain responds, they have a dopamine release, and it's every bit as bad as taking a shot of heroin or eating a candy bar. The brain says, more. Generation coming behind us that's in high school right now, this is the world they live in. They can't comprehend a life that is not lived out on the screen of their phone, to their own mental and social harm. A few months ago, there was a story in Florida about some girl on Instagram. And she had a stalker come to her home. Father shot him dead. And you know, rather than pulling away from social media, they pull her out of school. Because she can't imagine living life not being on social media like she was. So we have to be very aware of the danger, the insidious aspect of it. That not only are we the product, but it's all too easy to become hooked. So that you can't imagine your life not being the product. And so on this stage, all the worst aspects of humanity are on full display. So let's consider how it stirs up, what the Bible speaks of the nature of all this. Now, the best place to find wisdom is the wisdom literature. You know, think about our own interaction on social media and how it could expose or stimulate our anger, our deception, our hypocrisy and pride. Think of Proverbs 29:20. Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Our social media involvement does not incline us towards long, thoughtful interaction. You know, it's second by second interaction. And so when we see something we disagree with, we feel the pull to immediately respond. Far different from previous generations, when everything was by pen and paper. You know, think about before the invention of the ballpoint pen and the fountain pen, you'd have to dip your pen into a pot of ink and write it out. You had to think long and hard about what you were writing because it was a very labor-intensive process. Now, we want to retort to someone. We can simply use our speech-to-text program on our phone and immediately shoot back a response without thinking about the implications and the impact of our words. Our social media world has led us to be very hasty in our speech. We don't think twice before saying anything or typing anything. And when we find ourselves there, Proverbs tells us, there's more hope for a fool than for those who are hasty with their words, be they spoken or typed. How does God view this platform, this stage that amplifies and exposes pride, hypocrisy, anger, deception? Well, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, Solomon writes, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies and who sows discord among brothers." God's condemnation of those things on social media is just as real as his condemnation of those things in physical, personal interaction. You know, we can't say, well, it's just the internet, it's just Facebook, it's just Twitter, it's just Instagram. When those things come out of the heart on social media, they bear the condemnation of God. When we build ourselves up and puff up ourselves and portray this exalted view of ourselves on social media, the haughty eyes, we invite the Lord's discipline. When we bear false witness on social media, you know, and I've seen this a lot. You know, people will share something that they're pretty sure isn't true, but they like how it sounds and they'll share it anyway. You know, if we're not sure, if we're sharing information that's to be factual, and we're not sure that it's true, whether we're talking in person or online, we shouldn't share it as if it were true. It's a dangerous, it harms our credibility when our entire life goes around, you know. It's like, I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to share this with the world. I don't think our generation falls into the trap as much. I've seen it occasionally, you know, the too good to be true giveaways. You know, the page that was created an hour ago that's supposedly Chick-fil-A, and they're giving away free Chick-fil-A for life. And people shared, you know, it's like, well, you know, better safe than sorry. This might be true. Again, you're the product. They got you on the hook. You know, when people say that their account's been hacked because somebody has taken their picture and created another account with their name, it's one of the ways that they get your picture and their name. It's like, hey, I found somebody. I can download their picture and create a new account, and I can look at their friends list and add all their friends and message them and ask them for money. What's the motivation behind all this? What motivates, you know, the CEOs of Facebook, now Meta, Twitter, Instagram, which is owned by Facebook? What motivates all this? Because there's only a handful of people that own all the social media platforms. Well, Proverbs 28:25 says, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. So Proverbs says that there is an intentional connection in the human heart between greed and stirring up strife. I'll tell you, the social media companies have understood that there is money to be made in stirring up strife. You know, if they can get you agitated and angry and engaged, they've got their product. Because while you're arguing away, you're going to see countless advertisements that work their way into your head, and then you're going to decide, oh, I need this product and this product. It's very much subliminal. You know, you didn't wake up thinking you needed it. And the weird thing, we all know this. Raise your hand if you've talked about a product or a thing, and then later in the day, you're scrolling through Facebook or whatnot, and oh, there that product is. But supposedly, we have our settings set where our device isn't supposed to be recognizing our speech. You know, okay, Google. See, nothing happens, but I'm sure I could talk about a product at some point, and it's going to come up later in the day. I could talk about coffee or ice cream or a Tesla, and I'm probably going to have advertisements about all those later today. Because we're the product. There are individuals who, out of their greed, are stirring up strife, because strife is what keeps you hooked. But you're the product. Trying to figure out how to sell your information and sell their product to you through the media that we're around. Chris Martin, in his book Terms of Service, wrote, in 2018, an internal investigation, internal investigation, this isn't external, this isn't somebody else saying something about them, an internal investigation at Facebook reported, quote, our algorithms exploit the human brain's attention to divisiveness. That is a Facebook employee saying that the algorithms that they have programmed in exploit, and I would argue intentionally so, the human brain's attention to divisiveness. See, we wouldn't spend much time on social media if everything, you know, we wouldn't spend a lot of time engaging with stuff that we agree with. You know, if we saw stuff that we agreed with and that we were okay with, we'd just continue on. It's like, okay, I know that, I believe that, okay, put my phone away, I'm done for the day. I agree with everything in the world, the world is fine. But they understand that if there's something that gets under our skin, they can keep us hooked. They can keep us coming back for more. That's why people listen to talk radio. You know, it's amazing. We live in the day and age of podcasts and everything.
but people will listen to talk radio that they absolutely hate because there's part of our brain that latches on. It's our flesh, but it latches on to that which stirs up hostility and malice and animosity in us. It continues, the investigation also revealed that the Facebook algorithm is designed to deliver, quote, more and more divisive content in an effort to gain user attention and increase the time on the platform. This is Facebook saying that. They say, our algorithm, our software behind this, and while Twitter isn't saying it, if you ever look on Twitter, you understand that the same thing is going on. I've got, my phone is connected to my personal account and the church account, and I get notifications on the church account for stuff that the church account doesn't follow, like, or anything, and it's all stuff to the left of me that if I actually cared to spend the time dealing with, would suck me in to a world of argumentation online. And it's intentional. You know, we look at the world we're in. We look at all the division and the animosity, the political division, the rancor, the strife. And sociologists will acknowledge that it's gotten worse. And if we look back, and if we think about it, most of you can't think back that far because it's been around for so long. It's been around your entire adult life. I think back to college before Facebook really took off, and things weren't this bad. Even with those that I disagreed with, there was not this level of animosity. But social media has fed into it. I mean, there was animosity there, but those behind social media have understood that if they can increase it, they can increase their profit margin. Because you're going to spend more time and you're going to see more products, and you're going to end up buying more. Which means the companies have more money to throw in for advertisement, which means they need to stir up more controversy. We need to set a better way. Believers in Christ need to set a better way. We need to have our eyes open. I'm not saying that we need to be disengaged from social media. There is good that can happen there, but we need to understand that when we go and log on to Twitter or Facebook, when we pull it up on our phone, we're not entering in a neutral space. I'll close with this quickly. Titus 3, verse 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Titus, Paul is telling Titus that was who we were, but we're to be different, and so we should be different in how we engage. And I'll close with this quote. Jared Wilson wrote a book on pastoral ministry, and you know, one thing that breaks my heart is a large number of pastors that have turned social media into a mudslinging ring rather than a place of encouragement. He says, the world is watching. If you are a pastor constantly arguing or posting angry political rants on social media, you are bearing witness to your true hope, which is not Christ. Bear witness to the goodness of Jesus in your online life, not simply your pet theological or political projects. Treat others with respect and kindness. Who you are online is who you are. And that is true for all of us. So be aware that in the eyes of the platform makers, you're the product. Be aware that they're going to try to stir up anger and hostility in you. But use this product as a platform for the gospel. Don't fall into their expectations. Don't fall into the pattern that they've set. But use it to make much of Christ. Sure, you're not going to get a lot of likes and follows because of it. But you'll shed some light in a very dark place. Shane, would you close us in prayer real quick?
Lord, we come to you and say thank you for all that you bless us with. Thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for the message from Brother Stephen asking you to give us wisdom as we go.